This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boynodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is Episode 69, Award-Nominated Podcast.
I'd like to welcome everyone to this week's version of GamesAtWork.biz, our podcast. And today we've got Michael Rowe and Phaedra, and I know, Phaedra, I'll get your last name wrong, so I'm not even going to try that today. And myself, Sandy Kearney. Lots for the show today. I think, Michael, we're going to start out talking about caves this morning. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Sandy. And eyes on the road.
Right.
For the show, but thanks for kicking us off here. It's a wonderfully, unbelievably, insanely hot day for December in North Carolina. I think it's supposed to get like almost 80 degrees today. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Send that north because it's not that here.
I want cold. And Phaedra, how are you?
I'm wearing shorts and t-shirt today, so I'm enjoying the balmy weather myself. Hope you're well today.
Yes, not enjoying it. I want cold. We had a fire in the fireplace last weekend.
Oh, nice.
So Sandy, you've been doing your work with the guys at Villanova on the caves. Do we have an update on caves?
Well, they're just getting started, Michael. I understand they've ordered all of the special equipment that's required. So there's lots and lots of special cameras, and I'll get you some of those specs. They're really using off-the-shelf products in order to establish the cave itself. And what's going to be unique about the cave will be what it is that we do with it. And then the long-term intent is to integrate this environment with other virtual environments, whether they're computer-generated environments on mobile devices and laptops or other caves. But we really believe that the high-value part is connecting these up. So Frank Klasner and his team at Villanova are busy at work with that. It's been a really great fall for us there. And, of course, we'll be kicking off the Guess What They're Doing This Week game, probably right after the first of the year in January, where you too will have a chance to guess what they've done this week in the cave and learn about how it is that you develop one and integrate.
And I know we've talked about caves a couple of times on the show, but I just want to, we get new listeners every week, and sometimes they may not be familiar with the term cave. I mean, I was watching The Wolverine last night, and he lived in a cave, but I think it was a different kind.
I think so, and we actually played a game. What do you think cave stands for?
Yep.
I think we did that a couple of weeks ago. And in this case, it is computer-aided visual and virtual environment.
Cave with two V's.
I think they're only using one V, but they sort of interchange virtual and visual. Because this is video camera-oriented, not just computer-generated imagery, not CGI. So although it can use CGI, the real crux of it is to use 360-degree video cameras and the screens and the supporting software and devices that go with that.
So most people would probably be familiar with something like the holodeck on Star Trek The Next Generation as an example of
exactly.
a cave.
Yes.
Except I think they had a little bit better tech on theirs.
Well, we'll see. And now I can go back and call Dr. Klasner Data. That'll be my new thing for him when I see him, and he won't have a clue, and I don't know if I'll make him smart about it.
So caves are really cool, and I remember, what was it, Sandy? 2 or 3 years ago, we got together out in L.A. At the Sony Studios and got to actually play in a cave. That was pretty cool. It was like
this blow-up
cave.
That was really cool. And that was the one where they'd done the work on Thor, right? And sitting in the chair, those guys go blasting by you in those science fiction motorcycles. And, a lot of work going on.
Yeah, the Tron light cycles. The Tron light cycles. And that was just awesome because, I mean, the great thing is the idea behind a cave is that immersion, right? It's another way of fooling your senses into feeling like you're virtually somewhere else. And with a video-based one instead of just a pure game-based one, you not only have the sensation of movement, et cetera, based off of the video flying by, but you also have the full immersion of, you know, 360 visual stimuli of what's going on. And the other interesting thing about that one was they had 3D glasses. So not only did you have 360 and the immersion, but you also had 3D things popping out in your face. So it really did give you that sensation of being in the middle of this moving space, even though you're basically sitting there or standing there.
Well, that's true. And that brings up another great point, Michael, is these 3D glasses and how much they've improved. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Frozen yet, but Thor. Thor, we saw Thor last week, and the new 3D glasses that were lightweight, the visual acuity in them was excellent. It was just unbelievable. I couldn't believe the difference from the old cheap flat, you know, glasses that they used to use to these new ones that you actually don't mind wearing.
Yeah, those are the polarized lenses that actually have, I believe they have some like electronics in it that causes a flicker in the glass to really help compared to, I actually have in a bag within 5 feet from me some of the old red-blue paper glasses.
Right. Well, and you know these are much better because the left side of the earpiece has a giant section in it, and it's not electronics at all. It's the anti-theft device. So you know right away that they're more effective and more valuable because they have the anti-theft device that goes off when you walk out of the theater with your glasses. So you get an experience all the way out the door to take the glass with you.
Yeah,
but you know, those now when you use those in the caves, and you know, I see a lot of this as the early work that was done, even when you had aircraft simulation, and you know, it was rudimentary at the beginning, but now so much more realistic and the high definition aspects of video, and you know, as you said earlier, really does fool the senses. And I think as we begin to integrate this, that's when we're going to see these interactive pieces in the whole gaming space. You know, I can truly see the massive multi-online role-playing games moving into some new initial at the end that says, you know, something to do with the cave or integrated environment.
Yeah, very, very cool. And Phaedra, I know, you know, some of the gaming stuff that you've done early on with using first-person shooter 3D environments, imagining that with this kind of immersion inside of a cave.
Indeed. There's with some interesting conversations regarding training of soldiers in caves using first-person shooters. But on top of the environment, they also included rubber bullets so that as you're going around a corner in the game and you get fired upon, you're actually getting fired upon by rubber bullets.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's certainly a motivation to move slower throughout the game and really think twice before you make a move.
Talk about fully immersive haptic feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't play that game. You'll put your eyes out. Well, very cool. Very cool. And Sandy, yeah, definitely we want to have that cadence that we've talked about to get the cave updates and the guess what's up in the cave now. I think that's going to be really cool as they start building out the cave.
And Dr. Klausner's going to be joining us on one of the podcasts, so you'll have an opportunity really to hear the technical specifications and the things that he's doing. And I believe he's got an open invitation right now for those folks that are in the area that if they want to try to think of some new creative way to play or use the cave, it's going to be open to do that. And they're actually building it, by the way, and this is just an interesting twist in and of itself, is rather than putting it in one of the buildings or the science department, it's going in the library. So
okay.
We're connecting up also with the whole library science and learning space.
Awesome.
And so people will come in to use the cave and they'll come into the library to do that. So
and as you grab a book off the shelf, it hands you a Kindle.
There you go.
So speaking of, you know, these virtual realities or alternate realities, we started a discussion, I think Phaedra, it was last week, about or actually 2 weeks ago, because last week we took time off, around augmented or alternate reality games. And I think the one that we kind of riffed on was the I think it was an Audi game, right, where they were trying to track down the car.
Yes, it was called Art of the Heist by Audi, and it was very interesting because according to Audi, it led over 16% more sales due to people participating within the alternate reality game. Note, though, they spent $10 to $20 million to create it. They had well over 500,000 participants, and it really stretched over multiple weeks. Cisco is very interesting. They invested in two different alternate reality games that I know of anyway, The Hunt and a game called Threshold, that circulated around their global sales meeting. And the premise for one of the games was that a researcher was kidnapped, and you had to figure out what happened to her. And it turns out that she had been working on a direct neural interface device, think Google Glass, that plugs into your brain. And apparently it became sentient and somehow managed to kidnap her. But that too got some very great buzz from Cisco. Apparently, according to their metrics, it led to some tremendous ROI with regards to getting their salespeople engaged around social business tools. I was in a conference, let's see, I want to say 2 years ago at the Serious Play Summit out in Redmond. And there were a couple guys there who worked for a three-letter government agency that that employs spies. And so they had a big spy conference. And
HUD?
What? We do that in this country?
HUD employs spies?
Yes. And they were saying that they, for their spy conference, released an alternate reality game where you were actually had to pick up and drop off files, and you had to do it in a way such that other members were working within the game would never see you do it. So there was a lot of sneaking around at the conference. It sounded like tremendous fun.
There was a game we used to play in high school, so this is a couple of years back, called Assassin.
Oh, yes. We talked about this on the show before.
Yeah, where basically you got missions to kill each other, and you had to, you know, like put a note somewhere, or, you know, whack somebody with a rubber knife, or shoot them with a dart gun or whatever, in a way without being seen, and all these crazy rules. I would worry about three-letter acronyms playing games like that, in the sense that maybe somebody didn't get the message it was a game, and maybe that's exactly how Snowden snuck all the files out. He set the game up, made them all bring the stuff out, and they went, oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's a really interesting medium. And what I find interesting is who's employing it, like who's picking this up and for what purpose. I think it could be a really fun way of getting people engaged in different kinds of software, but it's very, very, very storyline driven, even more so than I think most games. I mean, the whole point is to unlock pieces of a story and a mystery in general.
Well, one thing that I find really interesting about this, and like to get both of your perspectives on us, is when we think about really immersive, like, role-playing games on computers and stuff, that the aspect of a large open world where you can kind of do whatever you want, you don't have to follow the storyline to experience fun and excitement, yeah. Like Skyrim, right? And then the desire to then put those types of games in the real world where it becomes so critical that you follow the storyline. It is there's kind of this interesting dichotomy between those two types of games, you know, alternate reality games versus a alternate reality in a game.
No, that's very true. And I think an example of what you're talking about might be Ingress. too, right?
Yeah.
This is an alternate reality game. Or should we call this augmented reality? That one in particular. Maybe it's a blended genre. But in essence, where there are certain monuments throughout cities that are tagged and there are different missions going on. That's also very interesting. It doesn't seem like it's too storyline driven and that it is more open.
Yeah, good. Good point. there's like this little synapses in my brain going, you can say the word good.
But Michael, you had been playing Ingress for a while, right?
Yeah, I've messed with it for some time. To me though, I'm not a big fan just because I'm not really into the whole geocaching type games either.
Yeah.
I like the storyline, which is so funny because in games like Skyrim and others, I actually play the storyline some, but the part that I like the most is the expansive world and exploration. Even in MMOs like World of Warcraft or Star Wars Galaxy or the Lord of the Rings Online, any of those games, I spend more time on the exploration, ignoring the storyline.
Yeah.
But in real life games, I'm much more into the story. It's really funny that way.
I was asked an interesting question yesterday. I was at the a CIO summit out in Chicago, and I was talking about gamification and serious games, and I had mentioned alternate reality games. And the question that I got from a member of the crowd was from a CIO who had used to work at Texas Instruments. And he asked me the question. He said, so with regards to gamification and use of media like alternate reality games, do you see that there's more of an evolution towards competitive play or collaborative play, and which one gives you more business value? I thought it was such a great question, really great question, because immediately what came into my mind was, well, it sort of depends on the personality of the player. Kind of like you're describing that you really enjoy exploration. Well, if you went and gave the option to, for example, sales guys, maybe they'd gravitate more towards competitive play. What is your thought?
Yeah, I would say sales would definitely be competitive. What about you, Sandy?
Well, I was going to throw something in because what I see here is the differences between closed world and open world as well. And, you know, Tapscott talks a lot about the open world and how things are changing and in collective intelligence. And
oops, I think we lost Sandy. I think we lost Sandy. I don't know if she's just in a bad cell. Unfortunately, she's driving down the road and was talking about Tapscott. Definitely sounds like we've lost her.
Okay, so open world versus closed world.
But I think in a open world environment, you have to have the story too, even though, like I said, I like to play the exploration, not necessarily the world part, right? The story part.
Right. Understood. Yeah, and it seems like, you can take some other games that are targeted more towards younger kids. I see my kids playing, for example, Little Big Planet. They're on the second one, and the way they like to play is not to play any of the pre-cooked games, but to make their own and have their friends play.
Oh, yeah. Little Big Planet was an awesome concept when it first came out, and it's amazing. I haven't heard much about it in a long time. Yep, that was the wonderful sound of completely losing Sandy. So we'll have to. I know she was in transit and probably not able to join us back. So we'll ask you guys to all tweet her or drop us comments on the show page on your thoughts on open world versus closed world. But back to Little Big Planet. I remember one of the big things was, you know, people building new little puzzles to share with each other.
Yeah.
So it's that open, expansive world plus the social aspect that's
exactly
kind of interesting.
And that's what my kids still, I mean, and it's an old game, and they're still playing. They're on the second one.
I knew there was a second one. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, there's a second one, and that's exactly how they like to play. They want to design their own levels and then have their friends play it and vote on it.
Oh, cool.
It's really interesting. So it is a blend of open, creative, and social, and I think they really got it right.
I think the interesting part there is yeah, it's that feedback mechanism that people desire, especially when doing something creative. I think there's two aspects, right? Some people like to create for themselves, and they don't care if anybody likes it. And to me, most of those tend to be performance artists.
Right?
No, I'm just joking on. But yeah, there's some art that I don't like. And that's fine. But anyway, but there's some people who really crave that feedback and will actually, you know, modify their artistic or creative creations. So I'm wondering how much of the desire is the fact that you design games. So your kids decide, you know, it'd be really cool if we designed these games, too.
I don't know. That's a good question. I have no idea. Is it nature? Is it nurture?
You didn't quiz them and put a survey out?
I did.
Cinema Survey Monkey.
Fill this out. No pressure. It can be anonymous.
Well, speaking
surveys.
Well, speaking of feedback, we are honored to be a award nominated podcast.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Woohoo. Now, let's face it. This is, I think, gaming podcasters. But we did get an email this week to our primary email account. So if you have, you know, feedback that you want us to hear about that you're not comfortable tweeting at us or posting on our Google Plus page or posting on Facebook or posting as a comment on our blog at gamesatwork.biz, or sending to any of us individually at MichaelRose01 or Innovate Game or Carolina Big Blue or, and I'm going to try to remember Sandy's off the top of my head. I believe it's SLKUSA Twitter accounts. But if you want to, you know, send us feedback at admin@gamesatwork.biz, you too could nominate us because we are an award-nominated podcast now for the New Media Expo Award at New Media Expo Live, nmxlive.com. Now, realistically, what they've done is trying to get us to spend a whole bunch of money to go to Las Vegas to a trade show. But we thank them for the nomination. And, you know, if we get enough desire and feedback across all our listeners, who knows? We might do something special.
One never knows. One never knows. Reach out anytime. If you've got anything particular you want us to cover, to take a look at, we're open to it.
Yes, yes. So we will be posting some information on the website probably in the next week or so with the holidays, the year-end holidays, and all kinds of activity going on. We may not be as frequent. You know, our weekly podcast may not be weekly over the next couple of weeks due to the holidays, but we will post that information on the website at gamesatwork.biz. So definitely check that out. And anything exciting going on for you, Phaedra, coming up?
I am getting my Christmas tree tonight. It is, as we said earlier, 80 degrees, so I'm going to be doing the decorating and hanging up of wreaths and lights and yada, yada, yada. All that Christmassy stuff.
We are also getting our tree tonight.
Awesome.
It must be the time for trees.
It is.
It's funny because we actually normally get it on a weekend during the day, but it's supposed to be rainy and nasty the next 2 days. So we're doing it tonight after work.
Good. I think we all are. Likely there'll be a mad rush.
Mad rush to the farms of trees. Tree farms are everywhere. Well, thank you very much, Phaedra. Thank you, Sandy, wherever you are. Michael, we miss you. Hope you're having a good time this evening. And we will
see. We miss your Christmas caroling parties, too.
Yeah, that's what she said.
For the best. And thank you, all you listeners out there who are listening and spending the time on our podcast. We do appreciate you. And we hope you tune in next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.